Department in Massachusetts resigns. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
The Blandford Police Department had a roster of four officers until Monday when all four stepped down, citing safety concerns, including cruisers that barely run, expired and poorly fitting bulletproof vests, non-functional radios, and inadequate staffing. Blandford residents can still call 911, but a state police trooper will respond. The Hampton County Sheriff says he's increasing his department's presence in Blandford as well. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Fires are continuing to burn in Northern California, with the most active fire just 90 miles north of San Francisco. The weather remains hot, dry, and windy, and firefighters are doing all they can to stop the flames from moving down the hills and towards people's homes. This woman lost everything she had in the fire.
I lost it all. Every bit of it. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Wyatt Cox Classic Radio Theater. I've been using a MyPillow now for almost a year, and I've had the best sleep of my life, and you can too. What are you waiting for? This special, it's the best you'll ever have. Buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Buy One, Get One Free special, use promo code USA. You'll get one free pillow when you buy one at regular price, or call 1-800-951-8175. Be sure you use promo code USA, or go to MyPillow.com, promo code USA. Do it now.
President Trump said he won't flinch regarding a government shutdown this fall over border wall funding. The president has said time and time again that immigration is an issue that needs to be solved. Senator Joni Ernst said this will certainly get everyone's attention.
I am optimistic, Sandra. I do think that we can get our appropriations bills done. We've been working very hard at them. We would rather not see a government shutdown, but I do think that the president needs to be heard when he talks about making sure our borders are secure, building that wall, and reforming our immigration process. And I think we all can work together on that.
An award-winning actor, director, and writer makes a disclosure concerning his health. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more on the story.
I haven't said in public until now that I've been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Alan Alda saying during an appearance on CBS This Morning.
I was diagnosed 3.5 years ago, and I've had a full life since then.
And he says he continues to do so, acting, writing, also working on a new podcast.
To be immobilized by fear and think the worst thing has happened to you. It hasn't happened to you. You still have things you can do.
Alda saying he's also barely had any symptoms except noticing his thumb twitch once in a while. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And finally, it was back on this date in 1975 when Jimmy Hoffa disappeared. Hoffa, one of the most influential American labor leaders, disappeared in Detroit, Michigan, and was never to be heard from again. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hey, it's Joe Peters, and we're going to start off with my Real Estate Matters show. But before that, they've asked me to give you a little bit of an intro to the weather, and then the weather, and I'll be right there.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So once again, it's Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters, and we're going to get into what local weather is doing right now. It's typical summer. Today is the 31st of July. It's roughly 4:03, and I'm scenic downtown Flemington at our recording studio speaking to you, looking at my weather report on my Android. And it says it is currently 83 and more clouds than sun. Tomorrow, heavy thunderstorms, 85, a shower, a thunderstorm on Thursday. I guess tomorrow is Wednesday, then Thursday. A little more thunder showers on Friday. Clears up on Saturday into the 90s, sunny again on Sunday into the 88s. It's typical summer. That's where we're at. Let's go through one or two more of these. I'm going to get right into my Real Estate Matter subjects.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
So once again, it's Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters. Reverend, sitting here and telling you a little about myself, I'm going to play my commercial, and I'll be right back to tell you a little about what's happening and some interesting subject matters.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So once again, it's Joe Peters of Real Estate Matters. As they said, I cover Hunterdon and Somerset counties. I do residential real estate. I've been doing it for the last 15 years, and I'm with Coldwell Banker. I got to tell you, the market is sort of surprising. When you get to around the 4th of July, it usually means you can't still buy a house and get your children into school. So the market generally slows down and then catches its breath again in late August. This year, I haven't seen that happen. It sort of took off instead of slowing down. It speaks a lot towards the economy. It speaks a lot towards what's happening in our real estate market. And it's a great time, from my viewpoint, to be in the market as a buyer or a seller. Today is the 31st of July. It's going to be August tomorrow. We're going to start seeing mums free for $10 any day now. That's when you know summer's officially over. I'm also already seeing back-to-school signs up. So, sorry, kids, you got to go back. I did. Look what it got me. Joe Peters, Coldwell Banker. So what we're looking at in the market is a very interesting mix of things. It depends where you live and what your price point is. If you live in our more popular towns and your price point's under $500K, your house is probably going under contract if it's clean very, very quickly. You get into the five, the sixes, it slows down a tad. You get over to sixes, starts slowing down a lot. You get over to sevens, it's really slow. We're only selling about, I got the numbers right here. We're only selling about a half a dozen houses per month over 750. In Somerset County, it's a lot more active because they've got a lot more buyers. But we got 15, 21 houses sold over 750 compared to over 100 in Somerset County. But The hot market is the first-time and a second-time buyer. First-time buyers being those people who are out looking for the first-time house. They're typically shopping somewhere between 200 and 300, maybe 350, 400, depending where they're located at. And they're having a hard time finding inventory. And at the second point, those people who sell them their house then have to buy another house, and they're having almost as equal difficult of a time. That's why there's not enough inventory on the market. And then the market that's really not going anywhere here on the 31st of July is the market of that last-time buyer. It's usually the person where the kids have gone off to school. Mom and dad say, let's buy that house we always wanted. And they take one last plunge. We did it. We bought a house that was much too big for our needs, but we loved the neighborhood. We loved the house. We got a really good buy on it right after 9/11. People aren't doing that anymore. People are sort of looking at, you know, I've got enough where I'm at. Maybe we add a room on. Maybe we clean out the living room we never sit in and make it into a great room. I'm not going to buy that last house. And as a result, their house doesn't come on the market. And as a result, two or three houses in succession don't come on the market. Because if people don't have a house to buy, they're not going to sell theirs. They don't want to get stuck in the middle. Definitely don't want to have to go live somewhere temporarily and have to move twice. So I thought what I'd talk about today, I saw a great article, and it stirred a lot of old thoughts inside Joe's head about how people think when it comes time to sell the house. You know, I was there this morning, your teeth are giving you a problem, you're pretty much going to go to a dentist. You're not going to get a mirror and a drill and try to do it yourself. Your car is going to give you a problem. For the most part, you're going to go to an auto mechanic. But people get around to selling their house, and all of a sudden they think, wow, nobody knows more about my house than I do, and they're right. But these are the reasons that I'm going to talk about for the next half hour or so that you want to employ a real estate agent. With so much information readily available online, clients sometimes say, why should we hire a real estate agent? They wonder, and rightfully so, if they couldn't buy or sell a house through the internet or regular marketing or advertising channels without representation, without a real estate agent. Some do. Many don't. So if you're wondering what some of the things are, here are the 10 reasons why you may want to consider hiring a real estate agent. First is education and experience. Most people don't realize it, but real estate agents have to get 12 credits every 2 years in their craft, and 3 of those credits are on ethics and procedure. They're quizzed, they're tested, and they're certified. And many agents, like myself, have 4 or 5 certifications after the name. I don't publish it because most of my customers don't know what they mean. But, for instance, I'm a certified buyer's rep. I'm a certified seller's rep. I'm certified military. I'm certified seniors. And I've got a few others besides that, ePro for electronics and using technology within my business. But you don't need to know everything about buying or selling in real estate if you hire a real estate professional who does. Henry Ford once said, when you hire people who are smarter than you, it proves that you're smarter than they are. The trick is to find the right person. For the most part, they all cost roughly the same. Why not hire a person with more education and experience than you? That when we're all looking for more precious time in our lives, and hiring pros gives us that time. So your hiring experience. I've sold probably somewhere between 300 and 400 houses in the last 15 years. I sell an average of 2 houses a month, some through buyers, some through sellers, some through both. I do some rentals as they come along. I don't do a lot of that, but a lot of times my investors will want to re-rent the property after they buy it. I am involved in the county, both in Hunterdon and Somerset County. I'm in the Chamber of Commerce of both. I'm also in the Chamber of Basking Ridge, Warren, and I belong to several lead organizations, including ones that run here in Hunterdon County's Chamber of Commerce. I have a lot of contacts. I do a lot of education. For instance, I'm on the board of realtors for Hunterdon Somerset. It's on a corner of County Line Road and Route 22. You see the big R when you go past it. That's our building. We have about 2,200 realtors. that work through the organization that is based in that building. And we're currently merging with Mercer, which will double our size. So we'll cover three counties, not just two. I chair the education committee. I've done that for the last 5 years. And I've taken education from when I started chairing that committee, which was teaching things like Excel and Word, over to teaching self-defense, teaching how to use electronics and the cloud and technology in running your business, how to acquire customers, how to maintain your customers. I've helped other realtors understand what are the tools and what are the practices. So I've helped really raise the education level across both Hunterdon and Somerset counties. And as soon as we merge with Mercer, they've done some really interesting stuff down there. I'm looking forward to taking it one step further. So not only do I have education, I'm in charge of education. And education is key. You can never stop learning. I'll just give you an example. Mortgage procedures. They change every year or two. We had a whole bunch of changes 2 years ago with the Dodd-Frank Act, and they're still in effect today. They made things a little more difficult to do, and they sort of ensured that we'll never get back into a financial crisis that we were once in. But it takes education. It takes learning how to do things a different way. So the first thing about a realtor is your hiring experience and education. And that education comes into a lot of other areas, such as how to negotiate, how to work with other attorneys and other contractors and other realtors, how to hold a deal together. And that's where we come to point two. Realtors are buffers. I like to call them glue, because they hold both ends of the transaction together. I can't tell you how many times I've said this, and I actually practice it, is that I try not to let my buyers and sellers meet each other until the closing table, because it only takes one wrong remark on a buyer or a seller's part to get the false pride up in the air and to kill a deal. You never, and this is one of the reasons for sell by owners typically don't work, can let the buyer and sellers handle their own negotiation. They don't understand what agency is. When we start out, I start out as a buyer's agent. And then if my buyer then buys a house from another Coldwell banker agent or one that I have for sale, I'll become a disclosed dual agent. When I start out on a listing side, I become a seller's agent. Same thing. If I get another Coldwell banker transaction, become a and I'm representing both sides. I have legal responsibilities there. I can be held accountable if I don't do my legal obligation to the buyer, to the seller, to both, if I'm representing correctly. So when we say agents are buffers, they take the spam out of your property showings and visits. The buyers of new homes, your agent will whip out her sword and keep the buyer's agent at bay, preventing them from biting or nipping at your heels. And if you're a seller, your agent will filter out all of those phone calls that lead to nowhere from what we call the looky-loos, and try to introduce serious buyers or willing to write an offer immediately. I mean, I will tell you how many times I have had a buyer come to me and their house is not on the market and they want to go look at houses. And I'm saying, well, what is your intent? Well, I just want to get a feel for what's on the market and what I'm going to have to pay. I said, well, I don't mind doing that, but you're better off going to open houses in order to do that, because I don't need to get somebody to get out of their house, and you can be, which is what we just called, a looky-loo, and go in and get a feel for the market. But when you're ready to buy a house, your house has to either be on the market or ready to go on a market with a very quick turnaround time. Because I've said this, as I said a lot of times, you can't possibly run back, find a house that you want, run back, put your house on the market, and have it ready and sold in time to buy the house you found. It doesn't work that way. A lot of people think it does. It doesn't. What you need to be able to do is show that you are the best, because you're probably going to do a multiple buyer situation in most of our under 500 market, $500,000 market. And what I just told a client last Saturday was go back to your bank and get underwritten. That means if we get into a multiple offer, you could close in 4 weeks because you already got the hard part done. You may win it just on that. And that's part of the experience level. It's part of the buffer level. Neighborhood knowledge. This is a slippery slope. I live in Clinton Township, but my business runs all the way over to Warren Watchung, which is where my office is. I am pretty familiar with most of the areas between those two areas. And it's not because I drive around a lot. It's because I've done a lot of business in most of those areas. When people start to talk to me about living in Raritan versus Raritan Township, I know what they're talking about. When they come into Clinton, I can tell them there's four or five school systems, depending on where you live, before you get into high school, so they can understand that. I can tell them where the more desirable areas are from living and shopping and schools. And I can also tell them where areas are that they should be concerned. Maybe something too close to a railroad track or too close to a highway where you'll hear the noise if the wind is just the right. So neighborhood knowledge with clients and agents either possess intimate knowledge or they know where to find that knowledge about your neighborhood. And that's a good point. I mean, you can't know everything about every neighborhood, but I can typically put my finger on it through another agent who lives in that neighborhood that I'm working with in the office. They can identify comparable sales and hand these facts to you, in addition to pointing at you in the direction that you can find more data on schools, crimes, and demographics. For example, you may know that a home down a street on the market is on the market for $350, but an agent will know that it has upgrades and sold for $285 after 65 days on the market after twice falling out of escrow. So I got to tell you, one of the things I think that is the most valuable thing about an agent is his network of people. The people that the agent knows and has worked with in the past and can call up and find out. I just had a house like this on Sunday where I met the seller. He was at the house. I called the listing agent and said, why is the seller at the house? It's probably the worst thing you can let happen. And he gave me some information because he knew me that, okay, he's trying to fix the house up. And I was able to, through knowing other people in the business, find some information about the situation. Now, he couldn't tell me anything personal. He couldn't tell me what the man would sell the house for or what his financial situation was. But he could share with me information that I might not get from an agent I don't know. Price guidance. This is the main thing. I mean, I had an agent come to me in the office and said, I have a house in such and such a neighborhood. It's been on the market now 5 months, and we've had 50 showings and no offers. I said, it's priced too high. She said, how do you know that? I said, there's only one thing that doesn't sell a house is price. If you get the price down to where it's at, you're going to get offers. So if you're getting showings and no offers, it's priced too high. If you've been on the market more than 90 days and you haven't got an offer within 10% of your asking price, you're definitely priced too high. And I can almost tell you from looking at the price at times that it's priced wrong. If, for instance, if I see a house priced at $510,000, I know that house should be $499,000. The seller is probably trying to get half of their real estate commission back by pricing it a little higher. So the people searching between $450,000 and $500,000 aren't even looking at it because it's priced outside of their price range. It's a mistake. You can't price a house too low. If you get a house priced just slightly under market, you're going to drive the traffic to it. You're going to bring people into it that will inch up if they think they can't afford it but fall in love with it. They'll find a way to make the payment, and you're going to get the house sold a lot quicker. So contrary to what some people believe, agents do not select the prices for sellers or buyers. However, an agent will help to guide a client to make the right choices for themselves. If a listing is at 7%, for example, an agent has 7% vested interest in a sale, but the client has 93% interest. Selling agents ask their buyers to weigh all the data supplied to them and choose the price. Then, based on market supply, demand, and conditions, the agent will devise a negotiation strategy. Let's talk about price. If I take a buyer into a house and the house is obviously priced too high, we start too low because we know we got to get them down. Where if we think the house is priced very much where it needs to be, usually a house will sell for 3% less than it's priced at
at the very end. They might start higher and drop down, but of all the houses that went under contract in last year in our area, most of them sold within 97-98%. So if you had a $500,000 house, you probably sold it for $485,000. So when we look at a house, I've seen enough houses, I can tell, and I have tools, I can look up the values of houses, and it's not on Zillow. It's estimates, they say on the bottom of the page, they could be 30% off, and they usually are. Sometimes they're a lot closer, but Zillow's never been in the house you're looking at, and they have no access to Garden State information as far as MLS or any other MLS. So it's a guess. What they're taking is an average between what houses sold for and what they've sold for as a percentage of taxed value, and that's how they set that. But they don't know if you put a new kitchen in, and if you did put a new kitchen in, they don't know when you put the new kitchen in. So I like to tell my customers, take the Zillow Zestimates, put them in your pocket, and talk to me. That's what you're paying me for. Zillow's never been in the state of New Jersey, and they've definitely not been in this house that we just walked through. So how they could put a price on it is beyond me. And I'll give you a great example of this. I brought a client of mine over to see a house that I was listing for $400,000, and they looked it up in Zillow, and Zillow said the house was only worth $325,000. So they said, it's overpriced. I said, no, it's not. And long story short, it sold for $400,000 the first day it came on the market. I said, I've priced it and I've looked at comparisons. But let's take Zillow and go look at your house that you think is worth $600,000. And sure enough, they had it on Zillow for $500,000. Now, I'm not bad-mouthing Zillow. I'm just saying it's not a very scientific way of pricing houses. It's probably a better-than-nothing way of getting an estimate. But as I said, they've never been in the house. They don't know what the upgrades are. For instance, if you put a new kitchen in and it costs you $50,000, you're probably going to get 60% out of that up front. So it doesn't pay to put a new kitchen in right before you sell. You need to get some usage out of it. But after 10 years, that new kitchen might make it better than the house next door, but you're probably not going to get anything out of it. And all of that needs to be factored. Market condition information. This is an area that I excel in. I publish, and if you tune in this time next week, we're going to talk about market conditions for both Hunterdon and Somerset County, and I will go through two levels of market information. The very first is going to be what is happening in the market. And then, even more important, I'm going to go through why it's happening. Because somebody once said, somebody who knows what's happening is always going to have a job. But somebody who knows why it's happening is probably going to be the guy that's in charge at that job site. You got to understand what's making the market do what it's doing today. And real estate agents can disclose market conditions which will govern your selling and buying process. Many factors determine how you will proceed. Data such as an average per square foot cost or similar homes and median and average prices, days on market, ratios of list to sold, amongst other criteria, we just talked about a few of them, will have a huge bearing on what you ultimately pay for the house. So, you're paying for the experience. Once again, you're going to go pay your dentist, you're going to go pay your auto mechanic, you're going to go pay your whatever specialist you're dealing with. Realtors earn a living too, and we work very hard for it. And, yes, we cost money. But if you're selling a house, I'm probably going to get you more than the fee you paid me to sell it. And if you're buying a house, I'm probably going to find you a house when you can't find one on your own and show you how to negotiate the best price for it when we do find it. Next item we talk about is networking. This is key. I've been told I'm the king of networking. I don't know. I do network a lot, but the king of networking has got to be somebody somewhere better than me. Networking is something that a lot of people know what the word is, but don't do. I attend at least 10 sessions a month. Some of them are once a week. Some of them are twice a month. Some of them are once a month. But I attend 10 different networking sessions a month in order to talk to people, understand what's going on the market, and meet new people in my same business. Some of them are chamber commerce events, like in Somerset and Hunterdon and Warren. Some of them are lead groups where I actually pay to belong, and we have a network of professionals that we meet every week, and we share information on business. For instance, if I have a piece of business coming in on a sale, it's probably going to put a lawyer to work, a title person to work, a mortgage person to work, and maybe some tradespeople to work. Realtors are pretty well sought after for these groups, and I found it to be not only an exhilarating but an interesting way to know my craft, which is doing a lot of networking. And we do it with other professionals, many of whom provide services that you'll need to buy or sell, lawyers. We do it due to legal liability. Many agents hesitate to recommend certain individuals or companies. They'll give you two or three. But they do know which vendors have the reputation for efficiency, competency, competitive pricing. Agents can, however, give you a list of references from whom they have worked with and provide background information to help you make a wise decision. So when you see that silly little commercial, and I forget the name of it, but where the woman's jogging down a street and her neighbor says, "Hi, do you know a house cleaner?" "Oh, yeah, I might." "Okay, could you check her tutor references and set me up at an appointment?" We do that, but we don't do it for money. We do it with people that we've worked with, that we know are reliable, that we know are insured, and that we know are going to be referenceable vendors. So I tell people, if you need a list of reference resources, just closed on a house yesterday with a guy, first-time buyer. He's nervous as could be about buying his first house. I wouldn't be surprised if I get a call from him every day for the rest of my life. That's the kind of nervous he is. And he says, "Joe, I'd like to get a list of plumbers and electricians and craftsmen and handymen and carpenters." And I said, "Your best bet is to call me as you need me. Let's stay in touch, and I'll give you the guys I think are the best. I know them. I work with them every day." But it's one of the things that happens from networking. I do some networking where most of the other networkers in the groups are craftsmen, and I do some networking where most of the other people in a group are professionals. I'm not saying craftsmen aren't professionals, but what I'm saying is college-educated people like attorneys, divorce attorneys, investment counselors, tax advisors, insurance people. We have a couple of people that do employment law. We have a couple of people that do forensic accounting. If you're thinking about buying out your partner, if you're thinking something doesn't look right, they can go in and look at the books and see if they're cooked. If you're looking at buying a business, or if two businesses are looking at merging together, a forensic accountant goes to work and gives you an opinion. Then comes negotiating skills and confidentiality. My confidentiality is always to my buyer or to my seller. We sign a contract to that extent. I can't tell them anything they've told me in confidence without getting express written consent from them first. And I try to make sure that they understand that all the time, because what I will say to my seller is, "Look, you've got the house at $530,000. You have an offer at $510,000. I think that's a reasonable starting offer. What I would do is I would come down maybe five, see if they come up five, we can whittle away and maybe wind up somewhere in the middle or maybe even a little higher than the middle. But I'm never going to sell this buyer what he'd take for the house, and I'm not, because it's not my buyer a lot of times, tell the seller what he's willing to pay for the house. But I do know how to negotiate. I've been doing it all my life. When I sit down from the sidelines and see a buyer make an offer to a seller, I can tell you within $5,000 where that contract's going to close. And I am really good at guiding the person that I'm representing through it to get the best out of it. So you're paying for that. I learned that through corporate skills over years of doing multi-million dollar deals. So when we're down to a $500,000 house, it may sound like all the money in the world to you, but it's something that I do, as I said, a couple of dozen times a year. So top-producing agents negotiate well because, unlike most buyers and sellers, they can remove themselves from the emotional aspects, and that's really key. That's why they don't let the buyers and sellers meet each other, of the transactions, and become, because they are skilled, it's part of their job description. Good agents are not messengers delivering buyer's offers to sellers and vice versa. They are professionals who are trained at presenting their client's case in the best light and agree to hold the client information confidential from the competing interests. I can't tell you how important it is to make sure you've got a good feel and the confidence that your house is worth the price you're asking, or your offer is worth the price it's asking. In today's market, it's pretty much a seller's market, over under 500K. In Somerset, it's probably almost under 600K. So the buyers are probably going to pay, unless it's overpriced, pretty much what the seller is asking for. If it is overpriced, it's going to be on the market a month or two before it sells. And we know right up the front, it's overpriced. I can help the buyers get a decent price. And if it's a seller, I keep whispering in his ear, Mr. Seller, this thing has to appraise. If it doesn't appraise, if you get somebody delirious and is willing to pay you $30,000 more than the house is worth, and he doesn't get a full appraisal on it for the price you negotiate, it's not going to sell because there's $30,000 missing out of the transaction, and neither one of you are able to bring that to the table. So I do a lot of studies. I'm in the process of doing one. People live there for 4 or 5 years. They're looking to resell and move to another area. I have to go out and find 3 or 4 houses comparable to theirs, put some features in. Some will have an extra half bath. Some will have an extra bay in the garage. Some will have an extra bedroom. In some cases, take out a feature. Maybe this one's just like yours, but it's got a swimming pool. What's a swimming pool worth? Probably not a lot, but it's got some value to it. And bring them down to a point where they're talking on the same plane. I do it just the way an appraiser does. I list the houses that have sold within 6 months in the same area with the same features. And then when they're a little off, if one's got a new kitchen or one's got 3 baths versus 2.5, I make the adjustments for it. And I say, you know, based on that, and then it goes one step deeper, this is my house sold for 4 months ago. So if I sold it today, it'd probably be worth another 1.5% or 2%. I got to blend that into it. We're able to get decent handles on the pricing. Next step is volumes of paperwork. My God, I went for a closing yesterday, and I warned my friend that practice signing your name. This is going to be an experience, and it was. I mean, I've seen some closings more organized than others, but this one, although I think it was fairly well organized, it was quite strenuous in the amount of papers that needed to be signed and any of the facts that a mortgage company would wait for their approval. It's not an easy process. If you're listing your house, it only takes 2 or 3 pieces of paper to get it listed. You get a contract for sale, you get a disclosure, and then you do a seller's disclosure to say what I know about the house. But once that house sells, we got to go through a contract of sale. We've got to go through a legal document that says I'm not allowed to give you advice and tax advice or financial advice. I'm not allowed to give you any legal advice. We have to go through lead paint discoveries if it's older than 1978. We have to go through looking at the seller's disclosure together to see what's included, what's not included. There's never a never-ending line of paperwork that comes at you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. And I got to admit, and I'm not bragging, I'm not complaining, I'm just stating the fact, it's gotten worse. What's happened, and there's two things at play here, it's gotten worse and the ability to control it's gotten better. There's more paperwork and there's more paper to fill. But since I do it several dozen times a year successfully, and probably another couple of dozen times that don't go through, I probably got 50 contracts or deals a year that I put together, and of that, half make it and half don't. That's a pretty average batting average because of the shortage of inventory we've got. I've taken my computer and I've said, okay, here are the pieces of paper we need. Part of that comes from my parent company. If I say I need a listing package, they give me all the documents, and I fill them out with the customer, and we get them to sign it, and I'm able to do it electronically. I don't have to run over and say, sign here, and press hard, the fourth copy's yours. What I'm able to do is send you an electronic copy, and you sign it, send it back, and then I send it off to my legal people. But let's just read what they're saying. One-page deposit slips were prevalent in the early 70s. Today, purchase agreements run 10 pages or more. And that does not include the federal and state mandated disclosures, non-disclosures dictated by local custom. Most real estate files average a thickness from 1 to 3 inches of paper. One tiny mistake or omission could land you in court and cost you thousands of dollars. In some states, lawyers handle the disclosures, thank goodness. So, it never ends, but it's controllable. I have mine, and my advertisement, which I'm going to play one more at the end, says I've taken the speed bumps out because once a day, my computerized system says you've got, so right now I have 7 deals going on, 2 free listings and 4 sales. One just closed yesterday, I had 8 going on yesterday. And I've got 2 or 3 people in a hunt, so I could have a number 1 or 2 on by the weekend. But let's say I got 7s on average. Every morning I get a list of here's what you need to do. The attorney review just ended on case C. Now you need to arrange the inspection. We've just come out of inspection items on case E, and on that one we've got to order a certificate of occupancy. Just on the way down, I stopped at City Hall to get a certificate of occupancy form. Smoke detectors, fire detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, fire extinguishers, security systems. It just goes on and on and on. So the paperwork is intensive. It's not gotten better. Through my technology and organization skills, I've been able to control it. And I like to say that I'd probably need 2 part-time people if it wasn't for technology, because my systems do generate the paper automatically once I fill out the initial documents for me to conduct either a sale or a listing. And then my follow-up systems that are transaction-based follow those transactions. And every time an event happens, like the, I'll give you a great simple example, the seller has signed the listing agreement. Okay, now I've got to order signs. I've got to order photography. I've got to order some vendor work that needs to be done on a house before we can put it on the market. I need to get brochures. I need to get school reports. I need to do a flood search. I need to go down if he's got a septic and see what kind of septic it is. It's all computerized. So that every morning I get a list of things to do. I typically do most of it myself. I do have a couple of people that work for me part-time, and I get them to give me a hand when things really get busy. Next item is answering questions, and it says after closing. But my goodness, I door questions during closing, especially first-time buyers, especially when a buyer is an engineer. It never ends. Let me read what it says, and then I'm going to tell you my experience. Even the smoothest transactions that close without complications come back to haunt. For example, taxing authorities that collect property tax assessments, doc stamps, or transfer tax can fall months behind and mix up invoices, but one call to your agent can straighten out the confusion. Well, I'm not sure how that agent's going to know it, but he knows where to go. Many questions can pop up that were overlooked in the excitement of closing. Good agents stand ready to assist. Worthy, honest agents don't leave you in the dust and defend for yourself. That's one thing I've made a practice out of. If it needs to be done, I do it. Now, there's a little bit of a method to my madness. I don't like to do everything myself, but I do trust myself the most of everybody I work with. So I know if I've done it myself, it's pretty much going to get it done the way I want it to be done and get completed. So when a customer says to me, it just happened today, I need a certificate of occupancy, how do I do it? I said, I'll stop down and pick it up for you. I'll bring it over, show you how to fill it out, and I'll take it back. And I say, wow, you do all that. It's just part of the job. But it's also part of the process, because if that certificate of occupancy doesn't get back and completed properly and paid for and the inspection that results from it done, we're not going to close. And I'm not going to get paid. And they're not going to move on. So lots of questions come up. I do have a lot of people I've worked with over time. I make sure all of them have good references. I make sure all of them are insured. And I, too, try to give, if somebody calls and says, well, who's a good inspector? I'll give them 2 or 3 names. And they'll say, well, who do you really recommend? I said, well, what you're doing, this guy might be the best, but they're all qualified. If somebody calls and says, hey, Joe, my septic isn't working, who can I use? Once again, 2 or 3 people that could do the job for you. It depends what you need to have done. If you just need it pumped out, it's easy. It's almost a utility. If you need to have it analyzed and get an engineer involved, it's a totally different situation. Then develop the relationships for future business. I think past business is the key to where future business comes from. They tell you that once you're in the business 5 or 10 years, half your business should be coming out of your past business. So what I try to do in order to keep in touch with my past business is I send calendars, I send postcards, I send letters, I send newsletters. It depends what I have on file for the person. For a past customer, I probably have a good email address, but I definitely have a good mail address, because email addresses, they could change emails after a while. So a customer from me who's bought a house from me is going to get one of my quarterly magazines, and he's going to, on a monthly basis, get a newsletter from me. They may not look at it every month, but I can't tell how many times I've been told I really enjoy getting your newsletter. And if you'd like to take a look at what my newsletter is, and I'll hold up a picture of it for you, it's an 8-page newsletter. I have a Hunterdon County version and I have a Somerset County version. I publish this first of each month. Tomorrow, I'm going to pull all the statistics together for it, and then the next day, I'm going to pull, and that's the what happened. And then the following day, I'm going to pull all of the pertinent facts as to why that happened in that time frame. And by Friday, I'll have that published. So if you'd like to receive that newsletter, go to jpeters.com, and there's a place there where you can request the newsletter. Or you can just ask Joe a question on that site. You can say, Joe, how do I get your newsletter? And I'll make sure you get one. And I send out about, email-wise, I have probably close to 2,300 live email addresses. And people say, where did you get them all? And I said, one at a time, meeting people at open houses, closing transactions with people, meeting people at my leads groups. All of those people get my newsletter. Once a month, I get in front of you with a newsletter, and you may not open it, but on the months that you do, you find the information that you're looking for. And that information is going to tell you what the employment record looks like in the country and the state. It's going to tell you what the unemployment factors are and what the rental markets look like, what the price points are doing, which towns are hot, which are not, what are the factors driving, what are the taxes from last year, all those changes that are made, how do they affect the market, and where is it the prices are going up and where is it they're not. All of that's in my newsletter. So if you'd like to get that on a monthly basis, jpeters.com, or if you really want to make it simple, 908-238-0118. That's my phone number. If I'm not already talking to somebody else, I will pick up and talk to you. And if you want to just leave me a message at that number, leave me your email address. Don't need your phone number, although I'll have it if you call me. I never call people that I don't know and I'm not doing business with. What I do is I get their email address and I send them information, and when they're ready, they call me. Different kind of an agent. I may not get as many customers from cold calling that some other people get, but the people I get with work with me and write references. And if you want to take a look at my references, that is one thing Zillow is good at. We publish the references on Zillow. I think I've got about 35 of them up there. I have about 8 or 10 that I haven't published from the last year. And my customers are satisfied campers when we get done. If it's a buyer, I probably found them a house that they couldn't find on their own or with another agent. If it's a seller, I probably got them more money quicker than they felt they could get on the market. And I do it through a combination of things. When I sell a house, I get a professional photographer to come in. And we not only take professional photo shoot of your house, just did one Sunday morning in Union Township, we also do a blueprint of your house or a floor plan. We tie the photography to the floor plan so that if you get it onto my site, you can go room by room and look, what does this room look like, and the pictures pop up from where the little cameras are on the floor. I then set up their site for them, and then I advertise their site on social media, and I've got one customer of mine who's got a house that we had an offer on, fell through, we're waiting for it to come back together, but at the same time, we're not going to pull our eggs in one basket, we're still trying to market. We got him 1,300 hits on his listing 1,300 times it was shown up on either the Wall Street Journal or NewJersey.com or CNN. And of that, some 19 people clicked through and took a look at his house. That's 19 more people that would have got it out of normal channels. I use social media a lot. It's an inexpensive but accurate way of finding people. I can tell people that when they list their house with me, the one thing that Coldwell Banker does different from any other agency, and the one thing I do different than most other Coldwell Banker agents, is I can use a targeting tool to tell where people most likely are going to move from to your area based on the history of the last 6 months. And then based on that, based on a profile of the person that you're buying your house, I can advertise through social media to those people directly and speed up the selling process and maximize the price you're going to get for your house. I love telling the story because people look at me like I got three heads, but I do work out of Warren, New Jersey office. My home is here in Hunterdon County. I live in Clinton Township. But I do every place from Clinton, from 31 all the way over to the end of Watchung. I asked people, we were just there last week at the Warren Chamber, where do you think your buyers are coming from for Warren, New Jersey? Warren, New Jersey has an average of a 1,050 price point, 1,050. That's the average sale in Warren, New Jersey. Average list point's about 1,200,000. It's a high-priced area. We don't do business like that here in Somerset County. We have some that have hundreds. Where do you think the people coming to Warren, Watchung, New Jersey are coming from? And I'll get Middlesex County, I'll get New York City. I said, no. You know what my computer tells me? They're coming from Brooklyn. Not only are they coming from Brooklyn, they're coming from Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. I can tell you the zip code they're coming out of. And you know why they're coming from Bensonhurst, Brooklyn? Because people in New York, when they need to get out of the city and get into a little cosmopolitan, they're going to the east, into Brooklyn, the finer sections of Brooklyn. And those people are almost instant millionaires when they sell a brownstone that was only worth $1 million 5 years ago, and now they get two for it. And they're buying over in Somerset County, and they're thinking they're in heaven. So a little bit more scientific than it used to be, and it's not a haphazard. When I go in and I take a look at a house, when I go in and I talk to a buyer, I go out and I take a look at the market and I took a look at what else has sold in their market recently. I can pretty much come back and tell them, I don't know their name, but I can tell you who's going to buy your house. They're probably going to be between 35 and 45. They're probably going to have two children and they're going to probably come from this county. Based on that, I can advertise to them very accurately and increase your chances of selling your house at a maximum value in a minimum amount of time. That's what I do differently. My name is Joe Peters. I work with Coldwell Banker Residential Real Estate. I cover Hunterdon and Somerset counties, and I'd love to work with you. And if you're more on the buyer's side, it's a different set of challenges. But I just started a search with a Marine captain who's coming out of the service. He's been in, he's a commissioned Marine officer, has been in the service 7 years. His wife's expecting. They're starting to take a look in the Warren through General Edison, New Brunswick area. And we'll find them something within a week or two because they'd like to get into that house. The wife's expecting in November, so I'd like to be in October. And we're in the process of closing. Somebody from Somerset Chamber, his wife's due in August 1st, August 10th. And they bought the house, but they're not going to close until the end of August because they need time with that, the baby, and get everything in order. So I get inside your head. I try to understand what makes you tick. And then based on that, I try to help you put together a plan to either buy or sell that matches your requirements. I've been doing this a long time. You can tell it slices and dices kind of guy. I know what I'm doing. I'm a professional salesperson, a professional negotiator, and I understand process control and technology, and I use that to run my business. So what I'm going to do is play my commercial one more time for you, and I'm going to have a closing thought. I'll be back to you in 1 minute.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So once again, a final thought. Remember I said about half my business comes out of prior customers? I've listed 3 houses since June 1st, and I've got a 4th one on the books that'll get listed in the next 30 days, I hope. And all 3 of those, 4 of those, have come out of business. People have done business with me in the last 10 years. I'm also doing a lot of other business with buyers that I found that we're just starting to work with. And I enjoy working with both. But the observation I'm making is people used to sell their house every 7 or 8 years. And with the financial crisis, both with getting loans, holding a job, having decent credit, that 7, 8 years ran out to 10 or 12 years. And we're now seeing people with pent-up selling desire looking to do something different. In most cases, it's right-sizing. They're either paying too much taxes, or the house is too big, or they're not where they want to change jobs. They want to be somewhere else. The kids are gone. They don't need that big of a house. But the amazing fact is 3 out of 4 of those people are moving out of the state. They're moving out of the state because they're finding it is not competitive from a tax-wise viewpoint. And they're looking for a place that's more affordable to live. That's concerning. It's concerning because not only have we always been the most expensive, or for at least I can remember the amount of time, most expensive place, it's getting worse. It's getting worse because we're now starting to tax people on new things. We can't seem to run out of things to tax people on. And it's getting to a point where people are fed up. And when they get fed up, they do dramatic things or drastic things, like think about moving out of state. Anyway, Joe Peters, 908-238-0118. I've enjoyed talking with you today, and I hope to hear from you again in the near future. And my site is jpeters.com, jpeters.com. Thank you very much. We'll go to the news, and Greg will be with you in a few minutes.
USA Radio News.
Investigators gave an update today on the search for Molly Tibbetts, but provided very little information. So with very little information to provide, what was the actual point of the press conference? Well, James Trusty, he's a former federal prosecutor. He explains what the press conference did accomplish.
I think there's 2 things. One is just to reassure the general public that if there's a murderer out there, for instance, that they're doing everything possible to track this person down. And that's a genuine and I think important component. But it also is probably trying to steer people towards talking. And so you want to have individuals that are sitting on information feel like it's almost inevitable that they're going to be talked to. So why not be foreclosed, waiting for the agents to knock on your door and just call the tip line.
The president is in Tampa, Florida for a Make America Great Again rally, which begins just after 7 o'clock Eastern Time at the Florida State Fairgrounds. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-591-9426. That's 800-591-9426. 800-591-9426. Or go to selectquote.com.
Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
President Trump said he would look into the 3D plastic guns today, the day before the blueprints are set to become publicly available, free to download. Trump said that he spoke to the NRA about the matter and that, quote, it doesn't seem to make much sense, unquote. In June, Chipotle Mexican Grill announced it was shutting down 65 underperforming restaurants and revamping its marketing. Now, this is all under the new CEO, Brian Nichol. Now, Nichols also talked about the effect of NAFTA on Chipotle.
You know, look, I think what we have found is supply is critically important, and obviously how the trade